Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. Today is April 10th, 2017. The year is pressing on. This is really the first day or one of the few days that I've come to you with a very heavy heart. On Friday, we heard some news that we lost former UCY.TV radio host Liam Sheff, and I did not want to start the day without, I don't know, giving my regards and my condolences to everybody who loved Liam and had him in your heart. And I think this is part of the age of fission, folks, where we are going to be losing people for various reasons. Illness, people who decide that they just can't take it anymore. I mean, we're coming in a time of very heavy-heartedness. And I thought I would share with you, I have this little book called Healing Grief. And there are some, in the very back of this book, it's a little handout published by Medic Publishing Company in Redmond, Washington. And it's just a 10 or 15 page booklet, but I thought I'd read some of these things about the guidelines that they have for helping you heal from grief, because it can be very helpful for people who are just still in shock. I know there are some people, you know, the table of contents outlines the things that we go through: shock, denial, the first few days, anger, guilt, depression, talks about our children, the silence, tears, faith, growth, and then the guidelines. And these are some of the things that they say will help us overcome our grief. And I'm just going to read the headlines first of it. Accept the grief. Do not try to be brave. Take the time to cry. Talk about it. Share your grief with family members or have a friend to talk to. Keep busy. Doing some purposeful work will help you heal. Take care of yourself. Bereavement can be a time of threat to your health. And then this one naturally falls out of that is eat well. Make sure that you give your body good nourishment and exercise regularly. Now, the next one that they suggest is easy to say, not so easy to do. Get rid of imagined guilt. This is all the things you could have, should have, would have done. I think that's one of the hardest things, and this is one of our biggest things we go through when we lose somebody that we love, or we lose somebody that's important to us that we don't particularly know, like Liam Sheff was important to a lot of people. He probably did not realize how many people really loved him. So the woulda, shoulda, couldas, we have to just get rid of that stuff. Accept your understanding of the death. Instead of asking why, just allow it to be. join a group with others who are in sorrow, and associate with old friends. Postpone major decisions, that's a big one. Record your thoughts in a journal. Turn grief into creative energy. Take advantage of your religious affiliations and get professional help if needed. So I just thought I'd share that because I know there are some people that are really stunned by Liam's passing. We don't know a lot of details of his death, but we do know that he was suffering in the last year and a half from some botched medical procedures, which frankly, I'm not surprised considering we kill a million people a year. That even goes to show you, you know, if he didn't die from the results of his medical industry in injury and he did it to himself, I guess those are the uncounted deaths. So today I don't have a guest on today. I did not connect with the guest. He wanted me to pre-record all throughout the weekend. It just never happened. So I'm going to open up the phone lines. If anyone wants to give me a call to talk about anything, the number is 718-717-8106. The number is 718-717-8106. And also, if anybody out there wants to help me be a producer of my show, help me post the show on Facebook and promote this. I just don't have the time to promote the show, to tell you the truth. I have these big ideas. I still haven't gotten around to redoing the intro, which still says Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So that'll tell you where I'm at. I guess I live till April 17th, and then after that I can breathe a little bit. I thought I'd bring us the current event report notifications, notification reports from the good old NRC, because we can't let them go by and be neglected. This is really a shock. I think that most people are aware who listen to this radio show that the meltdown will not be televised. In fact, they do everything they can to hide it from us in every way they can. So we have a non-emergency in which state? Georgetown, South Carolina, another stuck gauge shutter, of course. I've kind of gotten used to these, haven't I? Loss of control of a sealed source, and this is in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, Radiation Health Branch. Huh. On 3/28, the licensee left a cesium-137 brachytherapy sealed source at an address provided. On 3/30, the licensee discovered the source was not in its shielded container and immediately determined the location of the source and took steps to retrieve it and secure it. This event is being actively investigated by the licensee. So what does that mean? Can you imagine something with cesium-137, brachytherapy sealed source? And then when they went back, they discovered it wasn't in the container. Somebody had it. So somebody's exposed themselves, and God knows who else, to cesium-137. But no immediate emergency. Don't worry about it. It's just a few people that it's going to kill. Ooh, right here in our own state of Oregon, Merlin, Oregon, Oregon Department of Health Radiation Protection, JRT Construction Company. What does this say? When did this happen? 4/2. An Oregon state licensee reported that a Campbell Pacific moisture density gauge model CPN MC3 was stolen from his job site in Merlin, Oregon, sometime late last night or early this morning. The licensee reported that the gauge was properly secured in a temporary storage building when the building was burglarized. The gauge and the other equipment were stolen during the burglary. The licensee has contacted the local police department. Well, that's interesting. So they just were the victim. All of a sudden, JRT Construction Company, they were burglarized. Huh. I don't know about you guys, but when we add up all these missing gauges, all these pounds, all these bits of nuclear contaminants that are being stolen and being reported, imagine this. I've been on the air now for almost 2 years and reporting on this regularly. Can you imagine how much is actually out there And we're wondering if we're going to have a dirty bomb blow up somewhere on the planet. I think it's a matter of when, folks. And unfortunately, I think our dear leader has turned ratcheted up the clock on all this stuff. So the next thing that happened, this is from today's events. This is one day's event. Palo Verde's Arizona, a nuclear power reactor. Circuit breaker defect discovered during current injection testing. It's a non-emergency, so don't worry about it. No harm to human health. Don't worry. I'll spare you the details on all of that. I don't know about you, but this stuff makes me super angry. I can't keep reading it. Let's go to the documents for comment on the NRC webpage and let's see what they've got going on, what's available for comment. NRC 2016-0254, list of approved spent fuel storage casks, TN Americas LLC dry spent fuel storage system certificate compliance 1042. That's open. You can open up and look, make a comment. This one is open till June 13th. Regulatory improvements for power reactors transitioning to decommissioning. Really, do we have any of those? Do we have any of those power reactors transitioning to decommissioning? I think not. They have, we've only shut down a handful of them. It's amazing. NRC 2011-87, non-power production or utilization facility license renewal. Oh, let's take a look at that. Let's see who wants to keep going in the face of their catastrophes. This is the shock about all this. So the number is 718-717-8106. If anyone wants to give us a call, it's 718-717-8106. You're listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission. Please give us a call. It'd be fun to talk to you. So we have this comment now, power reactor renewal, non-power production and utilization license facility. We're gonna have to, they make you click through a bunch of stuff. So, what do they say? The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission is proposing to amend its regulations that govern the license renewal process for non-power reactors, testing facilities, and other production or utilization facilities licensed under the authority of Section 103, Section 104A, or Section 104C of the Atomic Energy Act of 1954, as amended, AEA. That are not nuclear power reactors. In this proposed rule, the NRC collectively refers to these facilities as non-power production or utilization facilities, NPUFs. That's what they're called, NPUFS, NPUFs. The NRC is proposing to, what do they want us to do? Listen to this. Eliminate license terms for licenses issued under the section, the authority of Section 104A or 104C of the AEA, other than for testing facilities. Define the renewal license process for licenses issued to testing facilities or under the authority of Section 103. Require all NPUF licensees to submit final safety analysis reports, updates to the NRC every 5 years. Every 5 years. So, what they're proposing is that they don't have to renew their licenses. They just have to tell them what they're doing after every 5 years. And to provide an accident dose criterion of 1 rem or 0.01 sievert, total effect dose for NPUF facilities at other than testing facilities. Wow. The proposed rule also includes changes as described in Section 3, see discussion of this document. The NRC is issuing concurrently draft regulatory guides, preparation of the updated final safety analysis reports for non-power production or utilization facilities for review and comment. Wow. The NRC implements the proposed rule and associated draft implementing guidance would result in reduced burden on both the licensee and the NRC and would create a more responsive and efficient regulatory framework that will continue to protect public health and safety, promote the common defense and security, and protect the environment. How could anybody even write these words? During the public comment period, the NRC plans to hold a public meeting to promote the full understanding of the proposed rule and to facilitate the public's ability to submit comments on the proposed rule. Wow, this was posted March 30th, 2017. This is absolutely outrageous. So, this is going to close on June 30th, so people have plenty of time to figure this one out. But that is, from in my book, a complete shock. So don't worry, you don't have to tell us anything. You just have to notify us every 5 years. Tell us that you've been doing good, and we won't even come out and look and inspect you. Because, who cares about radiation? Just not that harmful. That's their attitude, folks. They really don't care. You know what? In that vein, there's a lot of people who don't care about nuclear, but you know what they do care about? Chemical and toxic pollution, and they don't know about nuclear. That's why they don't care. On Thursday, I'm going to be interviewing somebody who called me up. Her name is Erica Dugan out of Oklahoma. And her family is suffering from terrible toxic poisoning from, I don't know, corporate pollution in her area. And her it's been an ongoing thing, and she's getting a big circle to nowhere. And this is exactly what the whole thing is about, that we don't matter. Doesn't matter. Listen to these other things. Now we have license applications and amendments coming up. Fermi unit has a license application coming up, application amendments with involving no significant hazards, Vogtle electric generating plant. Wow, there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven license and application renewals and amendments. Check out this one. A license to export radioactive waste. They want to send it to Australia, folks. Wow. That is dumbfounding. That is completely dumbfounding. Let's go down this list. Let's look at the closest one. The closing comment for the first one is April 12th, 2017. That is at Fermi. Let's see what they want us to do at Fermi. That is a shock. So in order to get to these things, you guys go to the NRC website and you go to Public Meeting and Involvement, click on the tab, and then it says Documents for Comment. And that's how you can find these stories that we're looking at. So DTE Electric Company Fermi Unit 2 License Amendment Applications, Opportunity to Comment. Okay, so let's see what it says here. Let's open up this link and see what they say to us. Summary: the U.S. Regulatory Commission is considering issuance of an amendment to renewed facility license number NPF43 issued to DTE Electric for its operations of Fermi Unit 2. Oh, listen to this. The proposed amendment revises technical specifications for emergency core cooling system instrumentation and reactor core isolation cooling system instrumentation. The proposed changes add footnotes indicating that injection functions of dry well pressure dash high for high pressure coolant injection and manual initiation for HPCI and RCIC are not required to be operable under low reactor pressure conditions. Wow, for real? They're really going to do that? I think we have to make a comment on this one, folks, after the show. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go back and make some comments. That's like, really, they're not required to be operable. Because, who needs those safety requirements, anyways? What is wrong with these people? For real. Is this the same one? So they have another one. I wonder if it was posted. Looks like the same, the very next one looks like it was posted. Wow, this is a shock. So don't worry about it. You don't need to know about that one. Okay, applications and amendments to facility operating licenses and combined licenses involving no hazards consideration. So let's see what that one's going to tell us. They give us the butta being, the very last little bit of what they need to say to us in the last sentence, or they sneak it in there, right? So that we don't even hear it. Now, what is the name of this one? This one closes for comment on April 13th, 2017. Applications and amendments to facility operating licenses and combined licenses involving no significant hazards consideration. This is a biweekly notice. Pursuant to Section 189A2 of the Atomic Energy Act of 1954, as amended, the act that killed America, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, NRC, has published this regular biweekly notice. The act requires the commission to publish notice of any amendments issued and or proposed to be issued, and grants the commission the authority to issue an immediately effective any amendment and make immediately effective any amendment of an operating license or combined license as applicable upon the determination of the commission in that such amendment involves no significant hazards of consideration, notwithstanding the pendency before the commission of a request of a hearing from any person. Wow. So that means that they can amend and make any proposed rules. They can make it effective immediately if they want. Huh. So what's the comment? What do we make comments on? This is an application for comment. This biweekly notice includes all notice amendments issued to be proposed from February 14th to February 27th. The last biweekly notice was published on February 28th. But they also don't tell us. Maybe it's in the other. Hold on, I'm going to go back and see. There's no other supporting documents. So we're on a need-to-know basis, folks, and they just haven't told us. So I guess that's that answer. Too bad, Dad. You guys don't get to know. This is a shock. It is beyond me how we have abandoned our planet. How we have so many people out there, like so much water. These kids out, they have grown up very on the other side of town where the Westlake landfill has not particularly affected them, and yet they're actively engaging to stop business as usual. And the hard part is, it's identifying how do you get the funds? Because what they're trying to do is get some fuse wrap. They're attempting to get change agencies, essentially. What they want to do is get the EPA out of involvement with the Westlake landfill, get the Army Corps of Engineers to take it over because they do know how to move waste effectively. And then on top of that, they have to find the funding of how they're going to get it done. Even if that happened, there's no money for that to happen. This is why they're dragging their feet, because we have plenty of money to send around the world. We have plenty of money to start the wars. Plenty, plenty of money for us to protect Melania Trump at $1 million a day, but not enough. Imagine this. We're spending $1 million a day to protect the Trump family, at least, because we're not talking about all the other Trumps that we have to protect. People get all mad at Melania because she's staying in New York, but we're spending $1 million to protect the super rich family who could pay for their own protection, while at the same time, there's no money for the fuse wrap. The Republicans are telling us that we don't have, you know how much money they give us? The Republican budget was $123 million for every single fuse wrap site in our country last year. 112. It went down from a, it started at 126 in 2010, and now it's at $112 million. So between the time that Donald Trump takes office and the time that Melania Trump moves into the White House, just on her security alone, we're spending enough money that we could resolve what's going on in St. Louis. And yet, our elected officials, the complicity of them is so deep. None of them will balk. None of them will create a sit-in. None of them will stop action. None of them will do anything to protect their citizens. None of them. None of them. They're all just going along with the program, saying, gee, there's nothing we can do. Or isn't this great? We're privatizing the country now. We're upsetting the apple cart. I mean, my niece called me up last week, all freaked out when Trump sent in those bombs to Syria. She's like, aren't you worried about World War III? I'm like, hey, World War III's already started, folks. This is not something that's new. I mean, we're in it already. Just take a look at these application titles. Look what they're attempting to do to us. Let's read this one. The applicant requests for a licensee to export radioactive waste. We're going to start exporting our radioactive waste. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Wow, I'm stunned. Let's open this up and see what it says. And are they giving us lots of details? Not really. Ah, open docket folder. Let me see if I can open that docket folder because they're not giving us a lot of information. This must be a pretty important one because this says action, return of import license application and reopening of comment period for export license. The NRC is reopening the opportunity for public comment and reopening the opportunity to request a hearing or a petition to intervene in an application to export radioactive waste filed by Unitech Service Group, Inc. Wow. That is a shock. Let's see if I can find that additional licensee. Here we go. Primary documents. Let's see if I can find the primary documents. Correction 36, request for a license. Bear with me, folks. I'm going to open this up and see. No additional information on that one, so I guess we have to go to the original docket. Request for a licensee. Let's go to the correction because that might have the real information in it. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission is correcting a notice that was published in the Federal Register on February 16th regarding a request for a license to export radioactive waste. This action was necessary in order to provide the correct agency-wide document access and management system accession number under the export license application. So they're giving us nothing about this. This whole thing is like chase down the rabbit hole, folks. You want to know about it? We're on a need-to-know basis. I guess we don't need to know. This is shocking. Here we go. A little bit of digging. Let's see. What does this say? You could receive the following request. A copy of the request is available electronically through the agency-wide document access and management systems and can be accessed online in the Adams Public Document Collection System, NRC reading-rm forward slash adams.html. So they're giving us nothing about this application request. Wow. Unitech Service, material type. It's Unitech Services Group, Inc. They put the application date in October 20th, 2016. Low-level radioactive waste consisting of tools, metals, and other solid waste. The end use for land disposal in the originating country, Canada. For land use, destination, Canada. So they want to export their waste to Canada, and I wonder if Canada will let them take it. That's going to be an interesting thing. It's amazing. Wow. You know what I really wanted to look up, and I'm glad that my guest and I did not. Fukushima residents moving back home, and I don't know if any of you have been hearing about this, but the residents of Fukushima are now moving back home. There, I actually saw a picture of a little boy the other day walking to school with a government monitor that said 1.2. That's 1,200 counts per minute, folks. And children are being forced to move back home. And it's a little bit of a stunner there. Let's see, I'll put the date in. April 2017. Now, there's nothing new. Okay, here we go. The UK, the Express UK. Fukushima welcomes its residents back home after the accident. 6 years after the nuclear accident. Wow. The first train since the meltdown of a nearby nuclear reactors in Fukushima pulled into Namie, Namie, yesterday after Japanese government declared it safe. Wow. More than 20,000 people died or went missing when a 9.0 magnitude earthquake rocked the region in 2011, triggering a 30-foot tsunami. Namie was one of the hundreds of towns hurriedly evacuated when the giant wave crashed into Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. They're moving people back into Naimi. That is like right down the road. It is very close. One resident said, "We think about our children. When I think about their future, I don't want to go back." Wow. The length of time taken in reopening the town also means families have built new lives elsewhere, new jobs, schools, and homes, which is another barrier for moving back home. That is so outrageous that the Japanese government is willing to move these back home. Ken Nolet, Director of Radiation Health at Fukushima Medical University, said, "It's very difficult to convince the public that it is safe to return. They don't accept the scientists' view because they see us as nuclear allies." Well, you are a nuclear ally, and it is completely not safe for them to return back home, Mr. Ken Nolet, murderer. Wow. That is outrageous. That is outrageous. I wonder how many miles is Nanai, Japan from Fukushima Daiichi? Let's just see what the old mapperoo tells us. Oh my God, it's 7 miles from the nuclear power plant. They're moving people back in to an area that is 7 miles away from the nuclear power plant, you guys. Does anybody hear that? This is a stunner. 7 miles. It's 15 minutes away from the Fukushima Daiichi. It's only 7 miles away. They're moving people 7 miles away from a nuclear power plant that is off the charts, out of control radiation still. You're going to tell me that within 7 miles that zone is safe? What are these people thinking? This is completely outrageous. I had no idea that they were moving people. I thought they were moving people in like a 20-mile zone, within 20 miles. But to move somebody back in, how can this man say that Fukushima is safe? Who the hell is this man? That is outrageous. Ken Nolet. Let's just go quick and see who this guy is. Can you tell this is on the fly of my pants, folks? Because I actually thought I was going to have an interview this morning. So, if anybody wants to give me a call, we're at 718-717-8106. And I am going to do the Mr. Google on Mr. Ken Nolet because who the heck is this liar? He's telling people it's safe to move into Fukushima, into Naimi, and it is only Fukushima Medical University. Who the hell is he? How dare he? Wow. That is absolutely outrageous. I'm without words. That has got to be one of the most cruel things I've ever seen. Wow. Turns out Mr. Ken Nolet, professor and director of international cooperation. Oh, good. I hope he gets cancer first before all these kids do. I swear to God, or his kids do. That is just outrageous. That is completely outrageous. How dare he? How absolutely dare he? That is, wow. Wow. A nuclear ghost town. I'll read that next. But let's see who this Mr. Ken Nolet is. So he was actually the author. He was the speaker of something on October 20th, 2015, Environmental Exposure Grand Rounds Special Opportunity. What is this man saying? Is he actually, he's from the Department of Minnesota of Health, Minnesota Department of Health. Kenneth Nolet earned an MD and PhD degree from the Mayo Clinic and stayed to specialize in pathology and transfusion medicine. After Mayo, he joined the American Red Cross, concurrently serving as the Blood Bank Medical Director in Minneapolis Veterans Affairs Medical Center and as an assistant professor at the University of Minnesota. That was before, in 2015. Since then, he's been invited to the University of Fukushima. Oh, good of him. By invitation of Professor Hitoshi Hoto, Nolet joined the Department of Blood Transfusion and Transplantation Immunology at Fukushima Medical University in 2008. Contrary to evacuation advice given to Americans after the Great East Japan earthquake, Dr. Nolet stayed at FMU. In 2013, he became the director in international cooperation of FMU's Radiation Medical Science Center. Great. I hope he has family and I hope he moved them all there, this bastard. This makes me angry. It makes me so angry. FMU was commissioned to design and conduct the Fukushima Health Management Survey. Components of the survey included a basic survey, thyroid ultrasound examinations, a comprehensive health check, a mental health and lifestyle survey, and a pregnancy and a birth survey. Wow. Data from Japan's 50 years or more of universal health care makes many pre and post 311 comparisons possible. Not if they rig the numbers, but providing individualized estimates of internal exposure, external radiation exposure, and performing thyroid ultrasounds on a population-wide scale has no precedent. Minnesota Department of Health paradigms for public risk communications are outstanding, but culture and considerations will influence the message and the medium. Listen to this language. Minnesota Department of Health paradigms for public risk communications are outstanding. Public risk, so don't worry about it. They're really great at convincing people that nuclear doesn't harm them. But culture and other considerations will influence the message and the medium. These people are really insane. We are living with an insane medical industry. If they think they can move kids into families back into an area 6 years after an ongoing, it's not even a finished nuclear meltdown. This thing is ongoing. They're moving people into a place less than 10 miles away from the power plant. I don't know how you feel, but that sure makes me angry. Wow. Wow. Listen to what this says. Eight hospitals in the Fukushima prefecture went into emergency response mode. Fukushima municipal water supply was interrupted, so a 4-day supply on campus had to last 7 to 8 days with the possibility of needing large volumes to decontaminate plant workers. Routine monitoring on campus showed a March 16, 2011 gamma radiation spike 9.2 times the pre-March 11th average. Chronic care patients were evacuated out of this situation as emergency care patients were brought in. Wow. This guy is a murderer. That's who he is, Mr. Kenneth Nolette. Ah, I wonder if Dana's going to pick this guy up and call him out on one of his videos, man. Kenneth Nolette earned an MD and PhD degrees from the Mayo Clinic and stayed at Mayo to specialize in pathology and transfusion medicine. After Mayo, he joined the American Red Cross in St. Paul. This guy is outrageous. I cannot believe him that he actually really believes that it is safe. He's like that guy who thinks it's okay to drink the nuclear waste. What was his name? Art Robinson. He's probably a big fan of Art Robinson's, who thinks that we need to get our bodies acclimated to drinking it. This is a story written March 27, 2017, in The New Scientist by Fred Pierce. We have time to read it. My number, if anybody wants to call, is 718-717-8106. I'd love to talk to you. Otherwise, I'm going to read this story about Fukushima. The title of it is A Ghost Town in Japan Welcomes Back Residents This Week. Wow. And there's a picture of a man in full protective gear standing down a deserted street in lights at the nighttime. Namae is a ghost town. Its back streets deserted, its shops shuttered. Weeds pushed through the cracks between paving stones, and black bags of radioactive soil are piled up everywhere. The town was hurriedly evacuated 6 years ago after an earthquake and tsunami triggered a meltdown at Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, about 5 kilometers away. Is it ready for the return of its population? The Japanese government seems to think so. From April 1, restrictions on access will cease. The first train will pull into the railway station. Buses will run again, and its 21,000 former residents will be able to resume their lives there as if nothing happened, right, folks? Wow. When I visited last August, Naimi was strangely ordered. Workers were repairing roads and buildings damaged by the earthquake and left empty since the evacuation. Truck drivers bringing construction material into the town obeyed the still working lights, working traffic lights. I peered through the window of a hairdressing salon that could have been shut for lunch, with strands of hair on the floor and magazines in the rack by the door. Abandoned cycles stood upright in the shelters. One still had an umbrella in its basket. In the old city hall, officials were planning the citizens' return. Not before time. This is stunning. They think that those buildings are not heavily radioactively contaminated. Listen to this. I'm about to like flip out. For a few days back in 2011, Naimi was dangerously radioactive, but the short-lived isotopes were soon gone. People could have been returning after a month when the iodine disappeared, said Sunichi Yamashita, a thyroid cancer specialist at Fukushima Medical University, who had been advising the Japanese government in the aftermath of the accident. His advice was ignored. So only now, 6 years on, is Naimi about to reopen for business. The question is, how many will want to return? No, the question is, how long will it take these people to start getting catastrophically ill from living near a highly radioactive contamination? Fukushima is still spewing out radiation. This is so outrageous. This is truly a crime against humanity. 7 miles away. That is outrageous. Reluctant to return. This is a subtitle. After the government evacuated more than 100,000 people living within 20 kilometers of the stricken power plant, it said it should be allowed to return. They should be allowed to return home when radiation dose levels fell below 20 millisieverts a year. That is a fifth of the level when doctors say long-term health effects are possible. This is such a lie. That is such a lie. That is such a lie. That is 20 millisieverts is a lie. There is no safe level of radioactive contamination. And in fact, their dosimeters don't even test for all of the radioactive nuclides that are all over the place. They certainly don't test for plutonium, the most dangerous of them all. This is such a lie. They raise the levels of radiation, allowable levels of radiation, to be 20 millisieverts per year because of the high levels of radioactivity coming from Fukushima. Prior to Fukushima, it was 0.10. Wow. Who was this? Fred Pierce. Well, I hope old Fred Pierce brings his family to Niamey and lives there for quite a while. When I visited last August, Okay, I sort of got myself all sidetracked here. I'm stunned. On my journey to Niamey, my Geiger counter recorded levels exceeding that threshold in some villages in the nearby mountains. But the town itself has long since dropped below as radioactivity decayed and workers removed contaminated soil and vegetation. Here, I recorded typical doses around 2 millisieverts, little more than background level. Even so, evacuees are proving reluctant to return. In the nearby town of Naraha, only a fifth of the people returned when the government gave the green light in September 2015, and surveys suggest Niamey will be no different. One reason is that the accident and its chaotic aftermath broke public trust and official reassurance about anything nuclear. It's very difficult to convince the public that it is safe to return. They don't accept the scientists' view because they see us as nuclear allies, which you are, you liar. Ken Nolet, Director of Radiation Health at the Fukushima Medical University. I honestly, God, this guy makes me, that woke me up, folks. That made me spit nails, man. This is so, we're actually reading about a crime against humanity right now. That's what this whole story is about. We're reading, just like when we read about what's going on in St. Louis, these are crimes against humanity. When my niece called me up last week when old Trump decided he wants to start World War III, which, by the way, the Syrian bombs were dropped on the same day that World War I started. So when Trumpy took his orders from his overlords and did that bombing, my niece called me up all freaked out about the onset of World War III. And I'm like, are you kidding? World War III's already been started. It's already on. It's been going on. They haven't stopped. We have been under assault. This is the issue. We're just now finding out just how under assault we have been since World War II. We were lulled into believing that our elected officials were actually taking care of their responsibilities, when in fact, they were doing everything they could to cover up their misdeeds and their lies. And they still stick to that program. Fears of radiation are deep-seated. Ito Tatsuya, a former teacher whose wife had run a pharmacy close to the railway station in Niamey, told me. However, much money is being spent trying to decontaminate and rehabilitate his town. It's a strange feeling, but I never want to go there again. It probably doesn't help that there have been reports of recently sky-high radiation levels since the molten cores of one of the reactors, levels that could kill humans in seconds and even disable robots' electronics within minutes. That's that $30 million robot that got killed. Another reason for the reluctance to return is that the long delay in reopening the town means that many evacuees have built new lives elsewhere. They have new jobs, homes, and schools for their children. As the all clear sounded for Niamey, there is a growing concern that it may be destined to remain a ghost town in an empty landscape for decades to come. Resurgent wildlife may remain the main residence. Wild boar root around the gardens and break into homes. In the eerie silence, I prepared to depart Niamey. An urgent message came over the public address system in the street. A bear had been spotted on the outskirts of town. So that's what they want people to move into, a place that has been run over by radioactive contamination and radioactively contaminated animals. This is beyond comprehension, folks, that this is where they are telling us to go, that we're just supposed to ignore this. It's incomprehensible. This is the status of our science. This was actually printed in the New Scientist. There's nobody even questioning the fact that they're not studying for radioactivity adequately or thoroughly in the nuclear industry anywhere. At any facility, they're intentionally not testing for radioactivity intentionally. They are intentionally lying to people about the harm of radioactivity because they do not want the responsibility of having to say, yes, it caused this harm. Wow. And then in the same science, New Scientist, this is the New Scientist is a pretty good, a decent mainstream scientific thing, right? Here's an article that says the great mass bleaching hits its the Great Barrier Reef for a second year in a row. And what they're saying, climate change is the culprit. Not one word about Fukushima, not one word about the bad news for Australia's Great Barrier Reef just keeps getting worse. Last month, scientists from James Cook University in Townsville, Australia, reported that the northern third of the reef was severely bleached in 2016. Well over half the corals were lost in that event. Today, the same team announced that the central portion of the reef, a popular tourist area, is now suffering a similar fate. Corals bleached and can die when stresses such as abnormal heat make them expel their symbiotic algae, or when radioactivity kills them. It's a picture of just white reefs. You know how reefs look like they're beautiful flowers? Well, not this one. The water is just too damn hot. Who fears that climate change is creating a new norm that the corals are unable to endure? I have to say that the absolute dogma of the scientific community to refuse to look at the harm that nuclear radioactive contamination is doing to our oceans and doing to our land is dumbfounding. There is no studies about the truth about how high is the levels of radioactivity in the water, or how is the level of radioactivity in the fish, or in the soil, or in the sand. We have contamination all over our country, all over Europe. I mean, if you look at the pictures, we have made a radioactive dump site out of our entire planet in the northern hemisphere here, folks. There are huge swaths of our lands that is massively contaminated, which is why we have cancer. This is why cancer is in the state that it's in. It's completely outrageous. So we have a few minutes left. The number is 718-717-8106, if anyone wants to give me a call. We have about 10 minutes left. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep going with what suits me. I started the show today talking about Liam Schiff. Oh my goodness. I apologize, you guys. I did not turn off my phone this morning. It's going to ring 6 times. So I could mute the phone. If someone was talking to me, normally I'd mute the phone, but I can't. So we're just going to have to grin and bear it and take it. It's 10 minutes to 9, and my clients think I start work at 9 o'clock, so, and they're right. So let's take a look at this abstract that Mr. Ken Nolet, PhD, MD, Professor and Director of International Cooperation, Fukushima Medical University, Radiation Medical Science Center wrote, October 20th, 2015. Oh, here they go. He's the person who says the gamma radiation was a spike 9.2 times higher. Chronic patients were evacuated. And what does it say? Huh. They clipped this, that last story that I read, they clipped it almost directly out of this little thing from the Department of Health from Minnesota, Minnesota Department of Health. That's interesting. Data from Japan's 50 years or greater of universal health care makes many pre and post 3/11 comparisons possible. But providing individualized estimates of external radiation exposure and performing thyroid ultrasounds on a population wide scale has no precedent. And you notice they are saying estimates of external radiation exposure. There is no concern about testing the internal radiation exposure. And you know why that is? Because they know there's no safe level. They're never going to test for the levels of radioactive contamination. They're just not going to do it. And they're, I mean, we literally are frogs in a boiling pot of water. It is completely outrageous. I am stunned to have found this story. I had no idea that Namae was only 7 miles away. I saw a picture of a child walking to school that said 1,200 counts per minute, and these people are proud of this. They think that's okay. And all the while, every conversation on the news everywhere around the world has nothing to do with the danger that people are living in. And where the world is getting nervous about a nuclear war with Russia or with North Korea or even China. But you know what I say? We've already got the nuclear war going on. And they're bombing us. They're bombing the citizens who are supposedly in the free world. We're free, yeah. Free to buy, you know, we're free. Free to buy their health care, free to let them chop us up and use us like assets on a balance sheet. That's our freedom. And if you say anything, you got to sit down and shut up. And there's a lot of anxiety about Liam Schiff, that he was intentionally harmed, that they kind of got to him. I don't think it's that personal. I think that, frankly, Liam was a victim of extremely bad medical care, and it drove him crazy because he couldn't figure out how to make it stop. He was in a lot of pain. And do we think that's intentional? I don't know. We can't. That's the kind of stuff we can't really prove now, can we? I mean, they drive people out all the time, and they do that intentionally. Just as with our soldiers on the USS Reagan. You know, what are they doing with the soldiers in the USS Reagan case? They're putting them off, putting them off, putting them off until they, you know, die. That's what they're hoping. I mean, that's the worst part. Let's see if I can find a story real quick. We have a few minutes left. We have 2 minutes. Here's a story. Not even 2016. We don't have it. There's nothing out there, which means that they're keeping calladito because they don't want to talk about the details of their story. Let's see if I can find it. I don't think we can find anything that is a reliable article on the USS Reagan stories. How much minutes do I have left? 1 minute. Well, I don't think there is. I don't think there is enough. Well, folks, thank you for listening to my show. Thank you for referring our station and our show to your friends. We do rely on your public support and on you spreading the word around on our radio station. Tomorrow we will be speaking with Nancy Newell, who is a Oregon activist intent on shutting down the Columbia Generating Station, so I'm pretty excited to interview her again. Please take action. Figure out what you can do. It is hard to face it. These days are not easy, but it's our responsibility. And that's what I mean by put your courage feet on. We have to take action whether we want to or not. Our future, our children's future, the world depends on us. We have to change the paradigm. Their paradigm is not ours. Take action and lean into it. Thanks for joining us, you guys.